supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
We are fast approaching the tipping point where dark skies overtake the amount of daylight. Let's get into it with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, say it ain't so.
You know, I hate to say it ain't so, but the planet keeps orbiting around the sun. So first of all, sunrises these days are at around 6:30 a.m. Sunsets are at about 7:15. So we've added quite a few minutes of darkness to our evening time, which extends our viewing time. Now, in that viewing time, we have this wonderful opportunity to still catch four of the brightest planets of our solar system visible for observing in the evening just after sunset. But that's not going to last. Venus, in its motion around the sun, is coming down lower and lower in our evening skies. The translation is that it appears to be setting earlier and earlier, that is, closer to sunset time. So Venus is going to disappear within another week and a half or so from easy observing. We'll still be left with Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, but we're going to lose Jupiter next month. Then we'll be left with Saturn and Mars. Saturn will go, and then Mars will be left. And we won't have an opportunity to see at least three planets in the evening sky again until September of 2020. So this is a great time for people to be out, again, observing these four planets under warm weather conditions in a lovely evening sky.
Even better viewing if one has an avail for a telescope.
Indeed, that's true. So tomorrow night at Franklin Institute, Night Skies at the Observatory, we'll be featuring those four planets. And if you think you might want to do this work at home in the weeks that we have left of observing, you may have a telescope at home, or you're interested in purchasing a telescope, I'm going to give a presentation tomorrow night explaining the things you need to look for to make a good telescope purchase.
Oh, a credit card.
Yeah, that would be a start, not mine.
Derek, where do we stand in the continuing hunt for planets beyond our solar system?
So the best-known planetary hunting spacecraft ever is the Kepler Planetary Discoverer. It's been in orbit since 2013, and to date, it's identified 2,653 planets orbiting other stars. The upshot of its observations is that astronomers now believe it's more likely for a star to have at least one planet than to have no planets. But the real hunt that we're interested in understanding is how many of those planets are Earth-like. And so we start out at the point of thinking how many of them have some kind of water as part of their chemistry. And so into the picture now comes James Webb Space Telescope, launched next year, hopefully. The work that it will begin to do in the 2020s will be a more detailed examination of planetary atmospheres that will help us understand how much more Earth-like they might be.
This is starting to sound more and more like the type of science fiction that was first posited over a half century ago on a little TV show called Star Trek.
Yes, that's right. Only 79 episodes, but they were iconic because, and remember, this is 1966, 3 years before humans landed on the moon. But this program really defined a whole new approach to space exploration and its impact on world culture because, after all, we wanted to emulate a lot of the stuff that we saw in Star Trek. But it wasn't just about space. It was about social commentary as well. Even in its episodes and its stories, it reflected a lot of those social issues that were happening on the planet at the time. They may have appeared to be masked in some way because of the science fiction overlay, but if you really look very carefully, you'll find that it really was this incredible mirror of the social condition at the time.
Just have to ask, was that show in part inspirational to your passion development?
That's a really great question, because in fact, Star Trek really was a great influence on my interest in astronomy and space exploration. Here was a program that had a cast representing people doing exactly what I wanted to do in an environment very much like I would have wanted to be. And in fact, if I were to drop a little secret, you know, I would say that certainly my favorite character on that program and the person that I wanted to emulate more than any other was Mr. Spock. You know, it's the idea that science describes the universe and that scientists merely report on what the universe is doing without emotion. And if we take enough time to learn about the universe and how it manifests itself, we might be able to understand it in ways that we can use to our benefit.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.